Play ball.
This is the Locked On Reds podcast. I'm your host, James Erpine. Great to be with you on this Monday. On Twitter, at James Erpine, at Locked On Reds. Subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and every podcast posted at LockedOnReds.com. Great to be with you. Like I said, we got a lot to get to, man. A lot to get to today. I wrote a lot right now. There's a lot up there at LockedOnReds.com. If you somehow missed Billy Hamilton's catch of the year during the Reds' 9-1 win over the Cardinals on Friday night, you can check that out. You can watch that on the website. I explain why the who matters when we're discussing a potential Scooter Gennett extension. And there's a lot there. Jeff Gilbert has written something right now for Locked On Reds. And you can watch Brandon Phillips and Bronson Arroyo together again on the website right now. It's a video. Check it out at LockedOnReds.com. I want to start with the report that I wrote about at Locked On Reds about Mark Sheldon. MLB.com, he talked with Scooter Gennett. And Mark Sheldon, really good reporter, covers the Reds. And this is what Gennett told Sheldon. He said, quote, "Just from the talks that I've had with the guys in control of all those things, I feel like they want me here. I feel like just from what I've been told, they want me here for the long term. What I'm getting is CEO Bob Castellini wants me here for a while. When it comes to all of the trade stuff, it would be going against what I've been hearing." And I wrote 900 words on this at LockedOnReds.com, but I wanted to open the show with it. And I wanted to discuss it because the reality of this is I do not want owners making decisions like this. The Reds, I think we can all agree the Reds are trending upward. The Reds are in a very critical part of the rebuild. If things go well, a year from now, we could be talking about the potentially playoff-bound Reds. If things go well and they make the right moves and the right trades and get the right prospects and the right players in return, maybe the right players in return for their prospects between now and the deadline and between this offseason or the end of this season and next season, this offseason, we could be talking about a playoff team. If they go poorly, if they sign Scooter Gennett to a five-year deal that he isn't worth, let's say, and that's their only upgrade this offseason, and they trade and make the wrong trade for the starting pitcher that we expect to anchor the rotation, well, we could be talking about a team that's struggling. We could be talking about an organization that shoots itself in the foot. And there's so many scenarios where it goes right, and there's so many scenarios where it goes wrong. And the last thing I want is an owner getting in the way, is an owner making a decision that, heck, he might be right on. Look, the reality is you could make an argument. Like if I'm making a yes, trade him, no, don't trade him chart for Scooter Gennett, there are good points on both sides. There are reasons to trade him, plenty of reasons to trade him. There are also plenty of reasons to keep him around. And the reality is you need to figure out, as an organization, what you're going to do. I looked up Manny Machado. Everyone loves Manny Machado. Scooter Gennett has the same amount of hits. Everyone loves Manny Machado. Scooter Gennett has a better average. Everyone loves Manny Machado, and rightfully so. I'm not knocking Manny. There's a reason he's the number one guy on the market right now, or going to be on the trade market, available, number one infielder at least. He's got 24 home runs. Scooter Gennett only has 16. There's only two RBIs difference between the two. The bottom line is Scooter Gennett should have a tremendous amount of value. He should. It should take a lot to get or to land a guy like Gennett, who's under team control for next season, who can come in and instantly hit 300-plus for you, give you some power, hit in critical situations. Obviously, he's done very well with runners in scoring position this year. The reality is Scooter Gennett is a commodity. And the Reds shouldn't just keep him, and they shouldn't just trade him away. And it's a fine line, and I get it. And I don't know exactly how you'd be feeling as a fan. You'd say, well, why would you trade Scooter Gennett? He actually is good. They actually have a good piece, and now you want to trade him. And I understand that. I do. I think they should be open to it, and I don't want ownership getting in the way. Ownership is what got Brandon Phillips paid too late in his career. The final 2 years of his contract were awful for the Reds. That final year of his deal, they had to pay him $13 out of $14 million to leave and play for someone else. The reality is, I don't want, and the owner, Bob Castellini, is a fan. I do not want a fan making that decision. There's a reason he hired Dick Williams. There's a reason he hired Nick Kroll. And the reality is Dick Williams and Nick Kroll, they might get some of this wrong. They might. And that is okay. But I want them making the decisions. I don't want ownership making the decision. I don't want ownership swooping in and saying, yeah, Scooter Gennett, 4 years, $40 million. What? Maybe that's the solution. Maybe that's the resolution. Maybe that is ultimately the decision they come to. But the who matters. And I elaborated on that significantly on the website right now, LockedOnReds.com. I always hesitate there. I always say blog. I'm used to saying blog because at the station we have blogs. But LockedOnReds.com is our website here on the Locked On Reds podcast. You're going to hear from one of the Reds' better prospects. He's in single A right now. He's Futures Game MVP, Taylor Trammell. He did a cool interview, and I want you to hear it with J.J. Cooper of Baseball America. You'll hear part of that on today's podcast. I also want to talk about where the Reds are at right now. Let's be honest. The Reds, they're hanging in there. 43-53, 5-4 on a road trip that I was leery of, that you were leery of, that most fans were leery of. This team is playing better. This team is flashing. And just a quick note from yesterday's Reds game. Jim Riggleman, if you really want to, I don't know, manage this team next year, can you please, please, please challenge a potential grand slam that hits off the freaking foul pole? Can you please do that? Four runs hanging in the balance, and Jim Riggleman doesn't want to challenge that. That's insane. So, just a reminder. Jim Riggleman, you're trying to get the job. You're trying to be the man here in Cincinnati. Can you make the right decisions there? The risk-reward was way worth it. Use the challenge. See if it's worth the four runs. Anyways, overall, though, I feel good about this Reds team and where they are. They're 43-53. They went 5-4 on a road trip that, let's be honest, we were scared about. This team has figured out, to a good large extent, what Jesse Winker is. They have an idea of what these young pitchers are, like Sal Romano and Tyler Mahle. Even Anthony DeSclafani, even though he didn't pitch well yesterday. They're starting to see him as well. The first 96 games of this year, as a whole, have been a success. Seriously. I mean, their infield is set. If they feel like, and the reality is, that this team is going to keep around Scooter Gennett, this infield is set for a while. Jose Peraza hitting around 300. Scooter Gennett hitting 320. Joey Votto hitting around 300. They get on base like crazy. You're set at catcher with Tucker Barnhart. Eugenio Suarez and Jacob Rude wrote about this. He's an MVP candidate. It's worth checking out at LockedOnReds.com. Like, overall, this team is just, it's set up in the infield if they decide to keep Scooter, right? It feels like they're set up there for the next couple of seasons. So that was a success. Jesse Winker has been a success for the most part. Scott Schebler been a success for the most part. Billy Hamilton pushing a bit. I think Adam Duvall, probably the odd man out. It feels like he's going to get traded. But overall, the first 96 games have been a success. I've said it all year. This year is the final year where record doesn't matter. This year is the set the table year. Set the table for the future. Set the table for a run in 2019. Set the table for an offseason in which you acquire an ace. Set the table in which you trade maybe a guy like Nick Senzel. Maybe you trade a guy, and dare I say it, like Hunter Green or Taylor Trammell, or a package of players to get the ace you need to really try to win next season. That's what this season is. And after a dreadful, historically bad, awful start that made you, me, and everyone else wanting to stop watching the Reds at 3-18, they've recovered and they're playing well. And I'm really excited to watch them play in the second half. I'm James Erpine. I know it's past the half, but this is like the not truly midway point, but midway point with 66 games to go this season. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Reds podcast. Up next, you're going to hear an excerpt of J.J. Cooper's conversation. He's with Baseball America, with Taylor Trammell, Futures Game MVP. He caught up with him, J.J. did, right before the Futures Game, and the interview is worth your time. You'll hear part of that next on the Locked On Reds podcast. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Reds podcast. Just a reminder, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Also, wherever you get your podcast. Let's hear from Taylor Trammell and J.J. Cooper. I thought this was a really good conversation. In fact, I think I'm going to put the entire video, it was like a 9-minute conversation, on the website at LockedOnReds.com. But this is about 5 minutes. Futures game MVP Taylor Trammell, who plays outfield, who's in single A right now, Daytona. I expect him to get called up to double A this year. I wouldn't be shocked to see him in a Reds uni as soon as maybe 2020. If he makes it that far, who knows? Maybe he's part of a package that the Reds trade or make a trade either between now and the deadline or at some point this offseason. But Taylor Trammell caught up and was talking to J.J. Cooper of Baseball America. I thought this was worth your time. It starts off with J.J. asking Taylor a question.
How have you felt like your season's gone so far?
I feel like it's gone pretty well. I think probably the biggest highlight of this year probably was we were playing Lakeland, and we're facing their starting pitcher. I'm not going to say his name, but yeah, we're facing their starting pitcher. And I ended up, we were down a run. And we were down two runs, actually. And TJ Friedl gets a base hit, drives in two. So the game is tied, mm-hmm. and I think it was in the eighth. And so TJ gets a triple. And so I never forget, I was up to bat, and I could just hear him cheering me on and everything. And, I swung through a, hanging curveball. And so I was just looking dead fastball at that point. And so he hung another curveball. I ended up hitting the right field and getting the job done for our team. And I can just hear TJ, clapping and everything, coming home and everything. And that was the biggest moment for me because it was like, I love when I get a chance to get the job done for my team. And at that point, I knew that my whole team had my back in that at bat. And so we ended up a few weeks later clinching the playoffs. And that probably...
That's a fun moment.
It's extremely fun. When you get that job done, when you get to win, we've been winning this year as a team. I'm really excited for it, but that probably was my biggest highlight this year.
Kind of with that, with your swing, if you mm-hmm. look back at your swing, say junior year of high school to now, yeah. Are you going to see, if we're looking at both of them, are you going to see some significant differences, or has it pretty much been what you are, kind of what you've been, or do you have to make some adjustments?
There's some slight differences. I know for me, the biggest thing was, keeping my head still and staying short to the ball. So whenever I'm in trouble, I'm long, getting my foot down late, and moving my head way too much. And I know whenever I'm simple, I can tell if I'm locked in by the way I take pitches. So,
and that's one of the things that's always been kind of one of your assets, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You have an understanding of the strike zone.
I do.
You're not going to chase, mm-hmm. and if they want to walk you, hey.
Yeah. So when
you can do some stuff on the bases.
Yes, sir. So whenever I'm, I get a little bit frustrated at times whenever I'm swinging at bad pitches because I know that, I'm not dialed in. So whenever I'm, whenever I'm in, I'm getting my foot down and I'm staying locked in right here. So my load is my biggest thing whenever I'm, seeing pitches and or anything like that. So I have a blast whenever I'm at bat and I look at four pitches and I walk. That's my, that's like a home run to me. I'm like, okay, there we go. I'm dialed in. He has to come to me now, 3-0.
Next time up, yeah.
Next time up, he's going to have to come to me. I'm not going to chase anything because I know that he's going to have to come to me because I've shown him that I'm not going to chase any pitches. So from junior year to now, I think the biggest thing was my junior year I would load up like this and then I would go after the ball. Now it's just here, simple, get ready and attack. And so patience has been key in everything. So I've really... that's the one thing this year I've really, tried to hone in on and understand better.
Right, because again, that's a big part of your game. Mm-hmm. The other part is defensively. I keep hearing positive reports about just getting better and better out there. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like you're kind of coming along defensively out in the outfield?
A lot. I think I've come along very well. I think that my coaches have done a great job this year of helping me become a better defender. Alex Pelias, Desi, Ricky Gutierrez, they've told me, your athleticism and your natural abilities they're just going to take you so far. You're going to have to understand how to read defenses, how to read the how to read pitchers, how to read swings off the bat. And that's the biggest thing this year that I've seen a huge difference, because there's balls that I didn't feel like I would get to at certain points, but I ended up getting to because
and you wouldn't have gotten to in the past.
In the past, because I was positioned the right way. I got ready in the right position early and everything. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. You know, everybody can play at this level, but it's what you do outside of the field, what you do between pitches, that helps you out to become, you know, that better player, you know, that that top player right there. So that's what I'm really focusing in on right now.
That's Taylor Trammell, and it'll be interesting to see what the Reds do with him. I don't know, man. From what I'm hearing, and this is just based on what I'm hearing, it seems like if I had to pick stay or go, I'd say Billy stays, Duvall goes, Harvey goes, Jeanette stays, and really that's it until the offseason. I might be crazy, but from what I mean, it just seems like that's the most likely scenario. Now, that being said, I think Billy Hamilton should go. I would trade him. He's going to get paid more next year. I don't think he's the center fielder you want. That being said, it's hard to argue or that you want in place when you make that run that the Reds plan on making. But I do think it's hard to argue when he's making catches like the one he made on Friday night. It's hard for me to debate when he's actually on the bases and stealing and being a threat. And so there's a way for the Reds to use him, I think, where he's very successful. I've said it all along. I think he's valuable on a contending team. The Reds, sounds like, plan on being contenders sooner rather than later. Keeping Jeanette next season, that's what that says, by the way. If they keep Jeanette through this year and bring him up, and keep him around next year with or without an extension, it says, hey, we think Scooter's the man for the job, and we think that we're going to win with him while he's here. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Reds podcast. Make sure you check out the website at lockedonreds.com. Entire video of Taylor Trammell's conversation with J.J. Cooper will be up there by the time you listen to this. And until tomorrow, I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we're talking about a team that continues to get W's as they're 43-53, still 4.5 games out of fourth place in the NL Central, still in the cellar. That being said, I looked at the standings today. They're the best last place team in the league. That says something, right? Have a great night. I'm James Erpine. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Reds podcast.